in just a couple of short hours, you'll get Yankee baseball. The Yankees are taking on Tampa Bay. They'll take on the Orioles to wrap up the first half of the year. They'll play Tampa Bay again, and then it's the Subway Series. And apparently we're back on our way to do some road shows, including from Yankee Stadium. So we look forward to that. Evan and Tiki on this beautiful Tuesday. Now, earlier today, Mikal Bridges was officially introduced as a member of the New York Knicks, and I watched every second of it. I found it cathartic. I thought it was good for me, personally, selfishly.
You could finally add closure.
Yeah. Yeah, to just move on. And, you know, there was a debate because Sean Marks met the media yesterday. Mikal met the media today. Leon Rose doesn't speak to the media. That's okay. He puts on master classes, so no one needs to hear from him, and that's fine. And both Bridges and Marks said, look, Mikal didn't demand a trade. I'm at the point where I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And for Knicks fans out there, why would you even care? Like, he's a Knick. Whether he asked for it, whether Leon just asked Sean Marks, pretty please, whether it was the cavalcade of picks, whatever the reason was, it doesn't matter.
Right. Nor was he there long enough to be so attached that he's unforgivable for him to go to the Knicks, even if he did ask for a trade. That's just my take on it.
Fine.
Like, why are you so attached to him?
I'm not attached to him.
Unless you just hate the Knicks that much
No.
and you just don't want to see them get better.
I'm not attached to him. All I've said about Mikal Bridges, and everything I'm about to say again, Knicks fans, stop being sensitive. It doesn't really involve you and shouldn't affect you, is that Mikal is not an alpha. And he's not a leader.
But they don't need him to be that.
I agree. That's why I'm saying that what I'm saying shouldn't bother Knicks fans. I'm talking for myself here about the Nets and my disappointment in him is that a year ago, and Lukey will tell you this, and I had this argument off air, maybe a little bit on air, I would argue with him that Bridges is better than Jalen Brunson. And that both guys were put in these situations where they got the keys to the castle and they're given an opportunity, Mikal away from Phoenix, away from Devin Booker, in the case of Jalen Brunson, away from Luka, to show that they're true number ones. And for a short period of time, Bridges looked like that after the trade. Obviously, Jalen looked like that. I will admit, Mikal failed.
Yeah, but Mikal...
And that's okay.
But he also,
for you...
But I also think he failed because the team just was like... was bereft of other talent.
I completely disagree with that. They had plenty. Cam Johnson, Dorian Finney-Smith,
okay, so then what
they
happened?
Had talent.
Then what
He's
happened?
Not good enough. You want me to be blunt? He wasn't good enough. He's not a number one.
So the reason that the Nets were so bad last year was because Mikal Bridges wasn't good enough.
He was a big part of the reason, yes. 100%. Not the only reason, big part. And again, that's not the Knicks' problem because you're not acquiring him to be that guy. Mm. So let me passionately, and if I have to look into your eyes to know that I'm telling the truth, any Net fan... who mocks the Knicks for this trade, that they gave up too much, they're not being fair. They're looking at themselves. I'm going to separate how I feel about the trade. I'm just going to analyze it and say, he's the perfect fit for your team.
Mm-hmm.
Stop caring about how many All-Star games he went to or if he's a true number one. They didn't trade for him to be an All-Star. They didn't trade for him to be a number one. They traded for him to be the final piece of this puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, to Knicks fans, I swear to God when I say this, you should have no regrets about the trade. You were saving all these draft picks for what? For what?
Nothing.
For Joel Embiid? For who? For Devin Booker? Fantasy Island? For who? This was the guy. And I get it. He's not a multi-time all-star. He's not an alpha. I'll be the first to tell you. You don't need him to be. And that's why it's okay. And that's why, as a Net fan, it is okay if you want to say, hey, you know what? We did great. We got five number ones. We're fully rebuilding. I'm good to go. Good. Feel that way. I'm slowly getting there.
Yeah.
I'll admit it. I'm not there fully. I'm slowly getting there. But for the Knicks fan, you got the final piece to your puzzle. Who gives a rat's patoot how many first-round picks you gave up when those first-round picks may not come back and bite you? Now, if they do come back and bite you, I'll be here. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think it matters what Mikal Bridges was with the Nets because it's a different set of circumstances.
Agreed.
It's a completely different team. I know you want to say he wasn't good enough in Brooklyn, but the team wasn't good enough in Brooklyn.
Partially,
and
it was mostly him.
Long gone are the days when a superstar, whoever it may be, Jalen Brunson, LeBron James, whoever, is going to win you a championship.
Let me ask you a question. You want to push me on this? Hold on.
It used to be that way.
You're right.
It is not that way.
I'm going to push you back on this, and I want Loogie and you to answer this as honestly as you can, and this will win me the argument.
Go ahead.
Let's say last year, Jalen Brunson was on the Brooklyn Nets, and Mikal Bridges was on the New York Knicks. What happens?
What do you mean, what happens?
Well, how'd the Nets do? How'd the Knicks do?
Are they a better team?
How did each team do? Jalen Brunson is leading the Brooklyn Nets.
How'd
they do? Because I know my answer.
First of all, he's coached better, and the guys around him are coached better.
Totally agree.
And put into better situations to win on game days. That's fact.
Agreed. Right?
So why did Jalen Brunson become an elite upper echelon player? Because he was put in the perfect position by his coach to excel at what he does best.
That's a factor.
That's a fact.
That's
but,
a factor.
But then, so did Ihart. So did Josh Hart. So did Dante DiVincenzo. So did every damn body on the Knicks. They were in better positions to win.
Okay.
You can't claim that for the Brooklyn Nets.
I'm just asking a question.
I know.
You gave a lot of real good thoughts, but what's the answer?
But hold on. I don't think that Jalen Brunson is so much better than every other point guard in the NBA that he couldn't be replaced with the right coaching around him. Do you know what I mean? Right? I know that sounds blasphemous from Knicks to Knicks fans, but he was not a superstar when he came here.
I agree.
He became one because he was coached to be one, and he had the right pieces around him. There weren't misfits. There weren't ball hogs. There weren't, you know, I'm not sharing the rock. Right, there weren't. I'm not, you know, retreating on defense and playing the pick and roll. It was perfect for what he wanted to be.
So what's the answer?
And so if Mikal Bridges was on the Knicks
and no Jalen Brunson
he wouldn't have scored as much. But who knows?
You're a play-in team.
Maybe.
I don't even think you're. You know what?
Maybe.
I reverse that.
Maybe.
I think the Nets have a better record than the Knicks.
But why is that a shot at Mikal Bridges? I just don't understand why you're taking a backhanded shot.
It's not.
Yes, you are.
Well, it's describing.
You're taking a backhanded shot at Mikal Bridges as he goes out the door.
Well,
and it's not. And you're telling me that,
am I wrong?
That when he gets to the Knicks, he's not going to be an alpha. Okay, great. He doesn't need to be.
I agree with that. So we're agreeing on that. I'm just making a point that Jalen Brunson excelled into being a star. Mikal Bridges had that opportunity, and he failed.
But
that doesn't affect you. I agree.
He had an inferior set of circumstances. Are you telling
me? To a degree, yes.
To a degree?
Well, I think there was talent on the Nets last year. If Jalen Brunson played with Cam Johnson and Nicholas Claxton, I think they brought Dorian Finney-Smith. I think he does well. I think the Nets do well. It's a compliment to your king, by the way. Like, this is not even a Nick Net argument. It's a compliment to Jalen Brunson and how he took the keys with the help of Tom Thibodeau.
Right.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, Kevin Ollie and Jacques Vaughn aren't doing the same thing.
Okay.
But
do you think Jalen fails miserably in Brooklyn?
I don't know.
You think he fails the way Bridges does?
I have no idea.
Oh, I know.
I know
he
the talent
doesn't.
Wasn't good.
Oh, come the on, talent Evan. Was good. That was not bad talent that they had. Hmm. You think the Nets' talent was that bad?
Well, they
Nicholas
didn't
Claxton, they just gave $100 million to?
They didn't play like it.
Because of their alpha came up tiny.
But why are you always putting it on the alpha? It's not always
why
on the alpha.
Why did the Knicks get to the second round of the playoffs in the seventh game?
Because they got
we
a
all
bunch
know
of
the answer.
Dogs
no.
and dudes. And
okay.
they did damage
what's
when
the,
they had to.
What's the real reason?
That's the real reason.
Jalen
They won
Brunson.
Without Jalen Brunson. When Jalen Brunson was hurt, Dante DiVincenzo stepped up and scored 30 one night.
They won with Jalen Brunson? What the hell did they win without Jalen Brunson? They won nothing without Jalen Brunson. And you knew they were screwed in the conference finals without him. This is a compliment. This is, again, I want to make this clear. Not a Nick Net fight. This is a Jalen is a real dog fight, and Mikal's the other kind.
You don't
and
know
that's
that.
Okay that he's going to the Knicks because Jalen will lead the way.
You don't know that.
I'm pretty sure I know that.
You have no idea what Mikal Bridges is going to be with the Knicks. Have no idea.
You're missing my point. He's going to be great with the Knicks. He's not a leader. He doesn't have to be great with the Knicks because he's got the real captain, the real king of this city.
Hmm.
That's why. But if he was in Brooklyn leading his own team, Jalen would have made that a playoff team. Mikal didn't.
He failed. You're sour.
Of course I'm sour.
Right.
I'm disappointed.
Yes, and you're letting emotion dictate your opinion.
Loogie, am I right?
You're letting your emotion dictate your opinion.
He'll break the tie. Is that fair? Would you agree with him? He's a Knicks fan. I respect where you're coming from. Hmm. Would you agree that he'll break the tie?
Go ahead.
No, I'm not. No, Tiki. I'm with Tiki because Tiki.
No,
before you weren't here yet, Tiki, and I had to listen to Evan tell me that Mikal Bridges is better than Jalen Brunson.
By the way, I just acknowledged that on the radio.
Okay.
I just want that to be clear.
To strengthen or to add to Tiki's point, the Nets failed Bridges, and Bridges was checked out because he played on the Nets, and he wanted to be with his buddies. Bridges, just like Brunson, just like everybody on the roster, is going to be better hater on the Knicks because of the culture, because of the coaching, because of the guys around him, because of the system, because of the chemistry. Period.
Right. So why did the Boston Celtics win the championship? Is it because they have the two highest paid players in NBA right now?
I mean, I can't take anything away from the greatness of Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown.
The answer is no.
No, that's not the only
reason. The reason they won the championship is because they were extraordinarily astute in bringing in Drew Holiday. They were exceptionally smart in grabbing Kristaps Porzingis in a terrible situation that he was in Dallas. They had the luxury of having the kid that you couldn't stop talking about, Derek White.
Yeah, he was good.
Right? So, yeah, they had two great stars, but they had them prior, and they sucked when it came to games that mattered, especially against the Heat and previously in the championship. They won because they were very well coached, as we've talked about all season long, and they had the perfect combination of role players behind him.
Okay.
I don't think.
Also a soft East.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, you're not wrong.
Right. But I also don't penalize
him for it. Not even the East. Forget the East. It was a soft playoff.
A soft everything.
It was a soft playoff because everybody they played was hurt. So, but my point is, the construction of the team was right, and the coach was right, and the stars did what they were supposed to do. And in New York, the Knicks had the star do what they were supposed to do, but the construction wasn't well. Because as soon as they got injuries, they were done.
So, again, if Jalen Brunson was on the Brooklyn Nets, no Mikal Bridges, last year.
And Jack Vaughn, who was fired midseason, and Kevin Ollie.
100%.
Maybe they win eight more games. Maybe they win eight.
I disagree.
Maybe they get to the playoffs.
I think they're a playoff team. I think they win 45 games. Then Jalen Brunson wasn't the MVP. Then he was never an MVP considered player if you don't think he would have made that kind of difference.
MVP in that situation.
I think he's better than that. I get what you're saying. I don't think he's better than that.
I don't believe the NBA is that anymore.
Okay.
And the LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Cavaliers series, that team, that maybe that depended on having the star. Just, you know what, I'm putting my head down, I'm scoring 50. And they did that, by the way, multiple times. You score 30, I'm scoring 50. We're gonna beat the dynastic, the team that won less than 10 games in a regular season, which is unfathomable when you think about it. But that was because that was that era of basketball. That's changed. Superstars alone don't win you championships.
Okay. Now,
that's a fact.
Loogie used his time to just bash the Nets, and that's fine. He has every right to. So I'm going to ask you again because you haven't answered it. Tiki did. I disagree with him, but he answered it. If Jalen Brunson was leading the Brooklyn Nets last year and Mikal Bridges was in New York, how would the Nets have fared and how would the Knicks have fared?
No, I did answer it.
No, you didn't.
No, I did.
Well, you said Mikal quit on the Brooklyn Nets because they're so bad. So are you saying the same thing would have happened with Jalen Brunson?
The situation is so bad and embarrassing in Brooklyn and so toxic that you're not winning there.
So Jalen Brunson
and the
in
Knicks
Brooklyn.
Are hold on, hold on. A winning organization. No,
so
I said
Jalen Brunson in Brooklyn last year, instead of Mikal Bridges, they would have won 32 games.
You are trying to lead me to say that. What I'm telling you is any player in the situation in Brooklyn, Jalen would have been Bridges. He would have been the same thing. Remember that ESPN commercial, the Oregon Duck, and he's looking outside and it's all the other Ducks playing? That would have been any of the Nova Knicks looking across
then
the river.
Never
at the
tell
real
me
team.
And never waste
no,
our time by
no,
telling us he's an MVP.
No, I will.
Because
he is
that
an MVP
answer
on the Knicks, like Tiki said, that, in that environment, Jalen
that
is an MVP.
Answer, which is fine to just take shots at the Nets, they deserve it. They stink right now. That answer completely destroys everything you spouted about Jalen Brunson. And quite frankly, I think was very disrespectful to Jalen Brunson.
No, it doesn't.
And you owe him an apology.
No, it
and
doesn't.
And when we meet him at the Javits Center at this awesome event that's coming up, it's going to be great. It's the Fanatics Fest. We're going to be broadcasting live.
Now he's
and Jalen's going to be there. You owe him an apology because what you just said about him was really disrespectful.
No. Once again, I am taking shots at your organization. And when I say the Knicks have dudes, they have dogs, they're going to do damage, I prop up the entire team.
So Jalen Brunson would have quit in Brooklyn, and they would have won 32 games.
He wants to be with his players.
At least Tiki said, they'd be 8 games better. I disagree, but reasonable. Mm-hmm. You're basically saying the Nets, who you hate so much, fine. The Knicks, who you love so much, fine. You could put anything in New York, it'll work, and anything in Brooklyn, and it'll fail. Jalen Brunson, your king, Jalen Brunson would have led the Nets to respectability because he's that good. All I heard on this radio station is he's a superstar. Now, you're saying he would have gone to Brooklyn and failed?
What I'm saying,
he's a superstar. Bridges isn't. That's okay now. But you don't want to be honest, so instead you're taking shots at Jalen.
No.
Very disrespectful.
You want to
Very disrespectful.
Take shots at Bridges, and then you want me to take shots at Jalen. The bottom line is Bridges quit in Brooklyn because the team is a disgrace, and they play in front
Why
of a bunch of people from Sweden.
Why are they a disgrace?
Because they don't have fans.
Because they're leaving. Okay, I got it. Because now it's just you're taking shots at the Nets.
No.
This has nothing to do with
that. You're taking
shots at the Knicks.
No, I'm not. Yes, you are.
What shot have I taken?
You want me to sit here and
you're trying... What shot, Tiki? What shot did I take at the Knicks?
You're taking a shot at the Knicks that they got an inferior product.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
When did I say that?
You just said he's not an alpha. That he's not a franchise.
I said he was a perfect fit for your team. He's a perfect fit for the Knicks. Evan, he doesn't have to be an alpha.
Why is that a shot at anybody? It's a backhanded compliment.
No, it's not.
We don't know. I don't think I know what Mikal Bridges' ceiling is yet. I have no idea. By the way, if you had asked me what Josh Hart's ceiling was, it would have been significantly lower than what I saw this past season. You'd have said the same thing about Dante DiVincenzo. I'd have said the same thing about Josh Hart. Their ceilings were, in my mind, and I think everybody's mind, was significantly lower than what they ultimately achieved. And so much of that is by culture, by coaching, and by circumstances that you find themselves in. When Mikal Bridges was in Brooklyn, the coaching, and the circumstances that you found yourself in sucked.
Well, it was a rebuilding or a kind of organized team.
Sucked.
But it didn't have the bad culture. What was the bad culture? All those bad guys were gone.
There was no expectation. What do you mean? You fired your coach midseason.
Well, because why? Because the best player got him fired because he wasn't performing at a high enough level. That's the reality.
That's cheap to pass.
No,
it
it's not. That's what happened.
It's cheap to pass it off.
And it doesn't. Again, it doesn't matter because the Knicks made a great move. Like, I know you guys aren't hearing that, but I'll say it again, and I'll say it over and over again.
But hold on.
This was the right move to make.
But, Evan, you don't need to say it. So that's,
you keep accusing me of saying that the Knicks did something wrong.
But that's the problem. You don't need to say that this was a great move. We know it. Everybody knows it.
Well, not everybody.
The NBA knows it.
No,
it was a great move.
They're mocking 5 first-round picks for a guy who's never been an All-Star.
Yeah, but who cares? They weren't ever going to use those first-round picks.
I'm with you. I'm on your side.
It means absolutely nothing.
I'm fighting the bad guys with you.
Right? You're going to just sit on money, put money under the mattress and not let it gain anything for you?
Right.
Right? That's bad investment. It might save you when the world implodes. But, right now, probably it won't, because once the world implodes and the financial markets are gone, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Money's going to mean nothing.
That's a good point.
You got gold bullion? Maybe.
What?
How you have any value? What's worth anything?
I feel like I'm so mad now at you guys. I don't even want to give you my brilliant idea to make the Knicks championship contenders. Yeah. But you know what? I don't want to do that to the audience. Mm. I want to share what I think, my opinion, is your final piece. Okay?
Precious Achiuwa?
It's not Precious Achiuwa. And I hate saying this, but this is why I'm an IBO.
Okay.
Because I can look past how it's going to make me feel to know that if you call up, and he's available, if you call up the Milwaukee Bucks.
And get Giannis?
No, stop it. Mm. And you say to them, I said available. And you say, look, we know you're looking to trade Brook Lopez. And we are the place for him. And you offer, and you're probably going to have to offer Mitchell Robinson and one of your protected, available to be moved first round picks.
How old is Brook Lopez?
He's 36 years old.
Is he going to play?
He played 77 games last year. How many did Mitch play?
Okay, how many minutes did he play?
I'd have to look it up, but I would say over 30. That would be my guess. He shoots from three, still at a great clip, 34-35% clip, which is a clip that he added once he was away from my team.
That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was more than that now. And he is one of the elite rim protectors in this sport.
Yes.
And I understand the affinity for Mitchell Robinson. I totally get that. Here's why, to me, it would be worth it. I get that everybody's on the same timeline, being in that same age group. But if you want to win, you got to get that last piece. Mitchell Robinson, as much as I do like him, and I do, hasn't proven he can stay on the floor.
True.
And despite being significantly younger than Brooke, he also doesn't bring the skill set, especially offensively, that Brooke can give.
Yeah.
And I still think at 36 years old, he can play.
I also think Mitchell Robinson, and I'm only saying this because I'm a victim of social media algorithms. So watching sports is obviously my life.
Right.
And so what do I get served on Instagram and all these other services? I get served sports stuff. Right. And I just got this video served to me from Mitchell Robinson playing pickup basketball.
Oh, don't do this.
I'm just telling you, he's not playing against anybody. I mean, it's like it at YMCA. It's small dudes who he's dunking on, like from the free throw line. He's just dunking on these guys. But he's also got massive handles.
Right.
And he's just pulling up, knocking down three-pointers. And so,
but he's never done it in the league yet.
I'm not even saying this is something that he could do in the NBA. But it is interesting when you see him doing it. And so the point is I'm making is that maybe Mitchell Robinson is being held back by Tom Thibodeau because he knows what he does great. Mm-hmm. What he does great is rebound and protect the rim. And so that expansion of his game, which I don't know if Tom Thibodeau has ever had a big man do that.
Mm.
I mean Bojan, but who else? I can't think of a big man that's had the freedom to stand around the arc with Tom Thibodeau, even going back to his Bulls days. And so I feel like...
I guess Cat in Minnesota, Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah, I almost forget that little stint.
Well, I think Tom tries to forget it, too.
Right. Maybe that's what's why he soured on big men, because all Cat wanted to do was shoot from the three-point line.
Joakim Noah took jump shots, but he didn't shoot threes.
Yeah, so. And so, I mean, I don't know if I know what Mitchell Robinson's true, like, upside is. Because you haven't really seen it. He has a specific role that he plays.
I think, and look, Mitch is still only 26 years old. And so I can't, especially when Brooke developed that skill at age 29. Mm-hmm. It was his last year in Brooklyn when he finally started shooting threes and then became, like, one of the better three-point shooters, especially for a seven-footer in this league. So I can't say it could never happen with Mitch. But I don't know about you guys. The guy played 31 games last year.
Yeah.
And I understand we're pissed off at Joel Embiid.
That's the bigger issue.
He doesn't play.
That's the bigger issue.
And Brook Lopez, and it's amazing I'm saying this about Brook, because early in his career he had the foot issues, mm-hmm. and there was certainly a lot of uncertainty in terms of how reliable he'd be. He's turned into a reliable player, and I read recently that the Bucks are making him available, and they're asking for multiple firsts. Well, guess what? They're not getting multiple firsts, okay? We can put that away. And I know the Knicks are looking for a backup five. Well, my answer is, how about instead of a backup five, you get a better five? And if you're trying to win a championship, and I genuinely believe that's the focus that Leon has and all you Knicks fans have, could you really tell me that that doesn't give you a better chance at winning an NBA championship?
It does, but you also feel a little shaky about having a 36-year-old big man who's increasingly wanting to be farther away from the basket.
Mm.
That's what worries you, especially when you have the 76ers who now have Paul George, right, in your division, and they're going to be a problem.
Let me ask you a question. Before head dog Tommy Lugauer gives an answer, mm-hmm. I want you to guess what he's going to say. Option number one is he's a net, he's dirty, the Nets have no fans, like the normal anti-net shtick, don't want him.
I think he appreciates Brooke Lopez, but not instead of Mitchell Robinson.
Now, or do you think he goes with the approach of, I want to make Evan cry?
No.
And I know that Evan loves Brooke Lopez.
It's been too long since he's never seen a championship. It's been too long since there's been a championship.
So he's just thinking strictly on what gives me a better chance to win? All right. Tommy Lugauer, do you like the idea of acquiring Brooke Lopez?
If you're listening right now, NBA gods, please, please bring this to fruition. Brooke Lopez to the Knicks. When it happens, I want to be sitting right next to Evan, and I want to be at that parade with Evan as Mikal Bridges and Brooke Lopez are on a float with me, of course, and we are celebrating with billions of New Yorkers a Knicks championship. Evan loves Brooke Lopez.
I do.
This will eat him alive.
So
there is no coming back from it.
So
you want Mitch to be gone?
No. No, I want both.
Put the lotion in the basket or else it gets the hose
Atiki,
again.
Here's why I'm going to get both. Because when we fought on the air about Bridges, Evan, the coalition of Knick haters, their leader, told me it wasn't going to happen.
I really didn't think it would happen.
You got a bunch of picks that are going to mean squat. They're basically on toilet paper. They're going to mean nothing. And Shake Milton. So we're going to get Brooke Lopez and we're going to keep Mitchell Robinson.
Well, I don't think the salary cap works that way, but that's fine. Think about this. He wants Brooke Lopez, gave no reasons on rim protection or three-point shooting, just to stick it to me. That's what he wants Brooke Lopez.
Right, right. By the
way, yes, it will, so precious.
Just so you could cry.
Do you at least, I'm not asking you, Lugie, because you're mean. I'll ask Tiki. Do you at least respect me a little bit that I would present to you
yes,
a basketball
that's a
idea.
Good thought.
That would it would pay me.
It's a good thought.
Okay,
I mean, I'm not paying attention to it enough to have known that the Bucks had him on the docket.
Yeah, no, he's on the trade block.
Yeah,
but realistically, I think because the NBA salary cap is sort of confusing.
It is very confusing.
They are going to need to move Mitch's contract to make that work, and they don't have a lot of picks they can trade because of the Bridges trade. So it would have to be
nor any other salaries really.
Yeah, I guess they could do a sign and trade with Precious, maybe. I don't know. I got to look into that. I think it's Mitchell Robinson and a first-round pick. And if you're not willing to do it, I disagree with you. If you are willing to do it, that makes you a better team. And I don't think the Bucks are going to be able to get the return that they're thinking on the 36-year-old Brook Lopez. And yes, it would kill me. I love Brook Lopez.
Especially if they won.
Yeah, especially, I mean, you know what? Even if they didn't win, watching him, because one thing you said about Mikal during our little scuffle that you're right about is he means nothing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm offering you an opinion you disagree with, but he means nothing to me. Brook Lopez means a lot to
right.
me. By the way, before I'm sorry, let's take Mike and Yonkers. He'll be the independent basketball observer to decide who is right in our big debate about Mikal and Jalen. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, what's up, Evan?
What's up?
Evan,
yeah.
First of all, I agree with you 100% about what's his name from the Knicks? If he went to the Nets,
great IBL.
If he went to the Nets,
yes,
the Nets would have been a playoff contender.
Of course they would. This is a no brainer. I'm just arguing with people that are bitter.
Evan, he was stuck. Evan, he was stuck in one of the few situations in the NBA where he couldn't flourish behind Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic controls the play. To play in Dallas, and if he goes to 25 other teams, he becomes the player became.
I think, sorry to cut you off, but Tiki made a point that I do agree with to a certain extent, and that was Tom Thibodeau deserves a lot of credit mm-hmm. for the evolution of Jalen Brunson, and I agree with you, but I also think Jalen Brunson deserves a lot of credit that being in a situation that allowed him to be him and have the keys mm-hmm. to a franchise, I think he was going to flourish in that situation. Maybe not as much without Tom Thibodeau.
Right.
Maybe with Jacques Vaughn, a former NBA point guard, maybe it would have worked. So I venture to say that if Brunson was in that situation, the same situation Mikal was in, he would have had far better success because he's better and because he's an alpha and because he's an MVP candidate. And to quote all of you people that work here and call in, he's a superstar. So I just agreeing with all of you. I don't know why you can't just agree with me.
He has become a superstar since joining the Knicks.
I got you. Mm-hmm.
Josh Hart has become a triple-double on a nightly basis since coming to the Knicks.
Dude.
Dante DiVincenzo went from a role player to now being a starter and a stud.
So they're system players. They're not great on their own.
No.
I'll remember this next year.
They blossomed on the Knicks.
Okay.
And the Knicks as a whole have blossomed together under the tutelage of Tibbs, Leon Rose, the whole deal here.
If Jalen Brunson is my last question on this, because I think Tiki's already done with this right now. I'm going to freshen it up, though. Jalen Brunson went to the Sixers. He was on the Sixers.
Okay.
You think the Sixers won the NBA title? By the way, my answer is
no.
Yes.
I think no.
All
right. Tyrese Maxey is a stud.
No, I get you.
Stud.
Okay, I agree.
Now, he's too young to know how to win consistently, but I'm scared of him.
No, I agree. He's a very good young player.
Right.
I think this idea is very dismissive of Jalen Brunson by saying essentially he's a system player and he needed to come to New York and the
player.
Garden and Tom Thibodeau.
You're twisting words.
No,
now.
That's what
no,
you said,
you're
dude.
You're twisting words.
That's what you said,
dude. And it's July. It's only July. Midseason, I'm going to rip your heart out and eat it because you're pissing me off.
Oh, what does that have to
and
do with anything?
No, because if you're going to act like this all season long, it's going to get real.
No. The debate on Mikal Bridges ends today. Like, literally, he got introduced as a Nick. He's not a Net anymore. You're being too pig-headed to admit I'm right. Him, Loogie, not you, mm-hmm. Tiki. You just have a nice disagreement with me. Mm-hmm. That's okay. An IBO disagreement.
Right.
But the discussion of Mikal Bridges as a Net, it's over after today. I don't want to hear about it anymore. But I'm just telling you that he failed as an alpha, and the good news in Manhattan is he doesn't have to be an alpha. And that's great for him, and it's great for you guys, and it's why this was the right trade for you. So there you go. Say my name, bitch! Oh, boy. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. There's a movie that's coming out in a few days. It's very rare that I get excited for a movie to come out. I guess Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes recently was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a movie called Fly Me to the Moon that's coming out this weekend. It looks like it's a romantic comedy. It features Scarlett Johansson and that hunky guy. I forget his name.
Hmm. Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum.
I haven't seen him in a minute.
Yeah, where's he
done
been?
Anything?
No,
that's
so.
He Magic Mike guy?
Yeah, it's the same guy.
All right.
Yeah, he's the Magic Mike guy. That's a good description, though. Hunky guy? Mm-hmm. Right, that's a fair description. Right. So they have a movie coming out. I saw this as a trailer recently, and I was like, I'm pumped up. It's about how in the late 60s, as we were about to go to the moon, they filmed a fake moon landing just in case we didn't make it to the moon.
But why would they do that?
Because we're in this like Cold War with the Russians, with the Soviets, and it would look bad on us if we didn't get to the moon. So if somehow it failed, we'll fake it.
Huh.
Now,
this is a conspiracy theory, right?
Well, it's a conspiracy.
People believe this.
Well, it's a conspiracy theory that we never got to the moon and that this is what we saw. But what they're saying in the movie is, no, we got to the moon, but we're filming this just in case we didn't get to the moon, so then we would lie to everybody.
So
does that make sense?
So wait, is this movie a true story or is it a fake story?
So here's the problem. When I first heard this, my wife said, because I was like trying to sell it to my wife, like, let's go see this movie. And she's like, is it based on a true story? And I said, I got to be honest with you. I had never heard that they taped the fake moon landing just in case it didn't work.
Right. So if this was a true story, this would be a very interesting movie.
Well, it's not a true story.
Oh, so it's not a true story.
No, I looked it up because then I was like, all right, I got to find out. Is this a true story or not? Because I've never heard about this. Apparently, it's just them taking like creative freedom on what happened in the late 60s. And so that we never did film a backup plan. Now, there are many in the audience, I'd say 10% of the audience, who think we did, and that's what we saw, and that's what we still see. But apparently, it's not a real story, and I don't know if that like turns me off from seeing the movie.
Yeah, now it doesn't sound like it's interesting because it's fake.
You're not into fiction?
Well, I am, but I think science has so much reality that is fascinating, mm-hmm. like absolutely fascinating, that to do a fake science movie, it doesn't make any sense. And it's not based on real life.
But isn't most science movies
fake? It's based on the conspiracy, though.
That's the dangerous part. Hmm. Like, there are people out there, again, about 10% of the population, who believe we never landed on the moon. Yep. And by the way, please don't call up and explain it to us.
Bad job by me.
It's not one of them. Stop it. Like, we don't need to hear your explanations on why it was all fake, but it is kind of a turnoff that this isn't based on a real story, because
yeah,
I agree with you.
Was.
Like, it's kind of, I don't know if I want to see it anymore.
Well, I don't know what I'm going to get from it. You know what I mean?
Well, you're going to get a fake story.
Or how's it, like, how does this end? It ends by it all going to naught because do land on the moon?
Oh, I know how it ends. Scarlett Johansson and Channing Tatum don't like each other at first, and then eventually they like each other. I think that's how it ends.
And it ends with a kiss.
Yes. Right. It ends with a kiss. Yeah. I don't know. I still find the movie interesting, but for whatever reason, and here's what I find hypocritical about you and I, because you agree with me. Like, you're turned off by the fact that it isn't a real story.
Yeah.
Most movies we see are not real stories. Like, I love Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. That's not a real story.
Yeah, but that's weird. That is science fiction, but it's not space science fiction. And I think most of the space science fiction is aspirational stuff. Like, hey, I hope we can travel at the speed of light.
Right.
Which is impossible because nothing with mass can go the speed of light. So, like, it's just one of those things that, oh, maybe one day we'll figure out how to break the Newton's laws of physics, right? Maybe that happens. But I don't, it's, you can imagine it because you know it's obviously fake. This is too close to reality.
Yeah.
I think it's going to frustrate some people, but also make those conspiracy theorists, who are probably those same people that think the Earth is flat, right? They're going to make those conspiracy theorists be emboldened.
Like, see?
See, they did it.
Yeah, I wonder, because I love history, if there's a historical fictional movie, like, it's about a historical event, but there's a fictional story attached to it,
uh-huh.
if that becomes a turnoff. Like, when I watch a movie, I love the Revolutionary War. When I watch a movie about something that was fake during the Revolutionary War, like some kind of romantic story that was sort of interesting, but it wasn't real, it was just made up, I probably would say, eh.
Oh, well, eh. Well, Lincoln.
Excuse me?
Like the vampire. Lincoln
was
the vampire.
Oh, okay. Hold on. You almost went down a bad road. Lincoln, you know, just Lincoln is based on a real story.
Well, I know, but
it's based on Passing the 13th Amendment. No, no, it's one of the most classic movies of all time.
It's called Abraham Lincoln.
Is that true?
There's a movie called Abraham Lincoln.
Vampire Diaries.
Vampire something.
I know. But, right. Okay, but when you said Lincoln, you made me think of the Daniel Day-Lewis movie, which is literally top five in my life. What's I've seen
called?
That movie
now,
like seven times.
I got to look it up.
I think it's Vampire Slayer, or maybe that was Buffy.
That's Buffy.
Vampire Hunter.
Oh, we're all wrong.
Yes, back in 2012. Yeah. Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Do you think I saw that movie?
No.
No.
No. I started to watch it and I stopped because it was so stupid.
So Abe Lincoln was like killing vampires?
Yes.
I mean, what are we doing?
Exactly.
Like, come on. That crosses a line. What? Don't put your hand up like you like it, Loogie.
No, 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 but I just thought of something here. Was it Fly Me to the Moon?
Yeah.
It's called? All right.
It's called Fly Me to the Moon. It's in theaters like in 2 days, I think.
Okay, and it's a conspiracy theory, essentially. I would go, if I were you, opening night. That way you have a chance to talk to Kyrie Irving, because he'll probably be at this movie, and you and him can chat about what happened with the Nets.
Why do you have to bring up the Nets? I thought we moved on. All right, let's get to some of your calls, 888-808-1019. There was a controversy earlier in the show, and I'm not talking about me, Tiki, and Loogie yelling at each other about Mikal Bridges and Jalen Brunson. A little bit before that, so you rewind to about 3:45 or so on the Odyssey app, there was a lady who called in, lovely young woman who called in, and said, hey, I got a big controversy. When I call in, do I say where I'm from, or do I say where I'm at right now as a caller?
Yes, that was Samantha.
That was Samantha.
Who now lives in Connecticut.
Right.
But she's from Queens.
Correct. So that has caused much controversy. I suggest that she can say wherever she's from. I don't think it's a big deal. But then there are others who say, no, she's got to say where she is in right now. Josh in Queens would like to opine. What's up, Josh?
I don't care who you are, where you're from, don't care what you give, as long as you call up to Loogie. That's it, guys. It doesn't matter. You could leave Queens, but Queens doesn't leave you.
Word.
Loogie!
Right? Amen. I think you're right.
That's first.
Yes.
And second.
Yes.
It's called the genre of the movie that you're talking about with Fly Me to the Moon.
Yes.
Is called alternate fiction. Now, the only other movie that I could think of just off the top of my head while I was waiting when you said that.
I've never
was
heard
Once
that.
Upon
That's interesting.
Was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, okay? Yes. By the way, that is a great movie. That's with Brad Pitt.
Yes.
Unbelievable movie.
It's with Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio. And Leonardo DiCaprio is a fictional character in a historical piece.
Yeah.
And the events that happen to them, it's a Quentin Tarantino movie. So I think, first off, that movie was super hyped, super amazing. I have never even heard of Fly Me to the Moon, which leads me to another is... Evan, your taste in movies are horrible.
Well, wait, no. The reason you've never heard of it, I won't dispute my taste in movies is horrible. Like, I will not fight that. But I think the reason no one's heard of that movie is what movies has anyone heard of? Like, think about it.
Yeah, it's hard.
Nowadays.
It's really hard.
In this moment in time, like, we live in a time in which I have fallen back in love in going to movies.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of that is my kids really enjoy it.
Right.
A part of that is 4D, which I think is a really cool kind of experience for kids. A part of it was I'm a big Planet of the Apes guy.
And so, the 4D is the smells and the senses. And the...
It's like you're on a roller coaster.
Right.
So I'm back into loving going to movies. I never thought I would again. And I've realized even going to these movies... There's no hype anymore for movies.
No.
And that kind of sucks.
Yeah, you don't get the, the 2 month buildup.
No.
Waiting for it. Like, now, the only time you see the previews really now are when you're in the, if you go to a theater.
And that's how I saw it. Yeah. Because I've been going to movies recently, some kid movies, the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes movie, and even my wife were like, it's fun to go to a movie. I like, by the way, he's talking about alternate history.
Yeah.
So here's the fine line. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. This is one of the most effed up, smart, scary, depressing, but funny movies. I know that's such a weird description. Spike Lee did it. It's called CSA, the Confederate States of America. It is a mockumentary on if the South won the war.
Oh, interesting.
And it is, like, everything I just used, all those words, they seem like they contradict each other.
Yeah.
Watch the movie. Like, effed up, funny, powerful.
This is 2004?
Oh, dude, I saw it like 2007 maybe. After it came out, and I was like, what the hell is this? And I don't even want to get into the details. I would just say depressing, sad, funny, Spike Lee did an unbelievable job. Creative as all hell. CSA. So that's one of those alternate histories that, like, you want to watch, but then you're like, I don't want to watch it.
You know, it's funny. He's now that he called and brought up Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is awesome, it reminds me that there's a show. I don't know what it's on now. I'm trying to find it. The Man in the High Castle.
Oh, God, that's another one.
Right.
But by the way, same description as I just said with CSA.
Yes, right. It's the same. Because you just brought up CSA. Holy I'm like, well, what happens if Japan and the Russians or the Germans. Nazis, the Germans won the war?
Dude.
And they basically divide the United States. And
yeah. Did you see it?
It's on Amazon. Yes,
you
I did.
You saw it. You watched it.
I watched the series.
It is. Yeah. CSA was better in that I thought that there was no ending
well,
to that
movie. CSA is a movie, right?
CSA is a movie. This was a TV show.
And it was like 4 seasons.
It was
a long commitment.
I don't know if I'm allowed to spoil like the end of the first season with Man in the High Castle, but what they ended up doing, and this
it was almost a decade ago.
Okay, so I can do it?
Yeah.
All right. They basically said it was all a dream.
Yeah.
And I always think that's like a cop-out. Like, right. You can't just say it was all a dream.
That was Dallas.
Yeah, that was
Dallas. Dallas did that.
One of the worst endings of all time.
Not the Cowboys, the season.
St. Elsewhere, I believe, too, right? I think St. Elsewhere had that.
That's a cop-out. Mm. You can't end a series or a movie by saying, oh, gee, it was all a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the only time where that was okay, and I don't even think it was a dream, was Fight Club. Did I spoil that one, too?
No, that was like 20 years ago.
Longer ago.
Exactly. But, like, that wasn't a dream. That was he's just imagining everything?
Yeah.
That one, I'm good.
He probably had, like, brain trauma.
I didn't even think about that.
I'm just being honest.
But maybe you're right. Let's go to JR in Somerville. How you doing, JR?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
All right. Evan, you can't troll the Knicks on a daily basis like this. I know the reason why you came out with all this Mike Dow Bridges stuff, and that's because CP put you on put your rant from the Rico Bronya every single social media platform today. Yeah. You decide to come out and do this hit job on the next
JR.
That's a great call, JR.
JR, I want you to take a time out for a second. I want to have a discussion. First of all right, I brought up Mikal Bridges, the same reason why CP put me on blast, which he has every right to do, because we had arguments, me and him, about Mikal Bridges, in which I said the same thing I said to Loogie, it's never going to happen. And by the way, CP agreed with me. All right, so let's not like ignore that. He eventually said, you're right, Evan, the Nets wouldn't trade him to the Knicks. But whatever. I brought it up today because he was introduced today. That's number one. And number two, I have done no trolling of the New York Knicks. I have merely said, if you're a good basketball fan, and I think you are, though I don't know you, you would agree with me that he failed in Brooklyn, and that's okay, because his role with the Knicks is completely different. There is no trolling on my part about the Knicks. If anything, I'm putting the Knicks over. Your retort.
This is the problem. And you kind of know me because I do DM you, and I've been rubbing this Mikal Bridges thing in your face for a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
But the thing is that the Nets have you completely fooled. First of all, they have $40 million of dead cap in Ben Simmons. Good luck going. Anybody going there and winning in the NBA with that much dead cap where the guy doesn't play. Okay?
Yeah, no kidding. Not fooled by that. Continue on. I know that. That's not new to me. Go ahead.
Okay. Second of all, the Cam Thomas is good enough. All these guys are not good enough to be a playing team with what they had. Mikal Bridges may have failed in your eyes, but at the end of the day, the rest of the pieces around him are not that good.
JR, simple question. If Jalen Brunson was on the Nets last year and Mikal Bridges was on the Knicks, what would the results have looked like?
Bottom of the plan, maybe playing 8 feet, like in that area. But they would not have been dead in the water. The thing is, once Simmons got injured, their whole identity changed.
Yeah.
They became a 1-1 team that couldn't defend.
I agree.
All right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Brunson comes there, and he would actually make them a pick-and-roll, kick-out team, do some things that were, you know, that would help them win.
They'd be better. Right. They'd be significantly better.
But the pick-and-roll options, JR, would have not been as good.
Well, look, I think having a big like Nick Claxton, having shooters like Cam Johnson.
I'm not saying he can't be. He's just very young.
Look,
and so when you looked at what iHeart evolved into, it was the perfect matchup, pick-and-roll matchup
for
Jalen Brunson.
What I don't understand, and this shows the sensitivity that I don't understand why it exists, is that I'm commenting to you my opinion on his failure in Brooklyn, whether you agree or disagree, doesn't even matter anymore.
No,
it's over.
It doesn't. And I don't know why you care so much, because he wasn't yours.
No, why do you guys care so much?
Because you're knocking him coming to the... And I'm not,
no, I didn't. I said it's a great trade for the Knicks.
You're knocking the import of him coming to the Knicks.
Not at all. You're wrong.
That's what it sounds like.
But you're wrong. You're wrong. I've never knocked the import of it. It was worth giving up 5 first-round picks. I commend the Knicks. Mikal Bridges failing as a number one with my team has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
I made that point, and you guys got offended, as if I'm attacking your friend. It has nothing to do with you anymore. Like, are you guys that attached to Mikal Bridges, who hasn't done a damn thing for you, that any kind of comment I have about his time in Brooklyn is offensive to you? Like, get over it. First of all, you're never going to have to hear it again, because I'm never going to bring it up again.
Good.
It's done.
Good, because you need to get over it.
I'm already over it.
No, it just doesn't sound like it.
I made a comment. You're the guys who keep talking about it. I moved on with it. He's not a Net anymore. And the Nets are going to stink this year. No one's disputing that. In fact, they're trying to stink this year. Problem is, their roster's still a little bit too good.
By the way, for those that care, Spain has knocked out France, killing Mbappe in the Euro semifinal.
So what happens now?
They wait for the winner of England and the Netherlands.
So that means France doesn't go to the World Cup?
No, this is not the World Cup. This is a European championship.
Oh, and who cares?
I care.
Oh,
a lot of people care.
No, I apologize. Why do I care? So it's for like a European championship?
The European championship.
Well,
yes.
D'Lo Brown would be so proud. You like that one?
There are some people that are listening that care. And while you were out, we took about 4 or 5 or 6 soccer calls.
Oh, I think we should talk more soccer. I'm actually a big proponent of that.
Yes. And Spain versus, I think it's going to be the Netherlands.
Yeah, you want to do a whole segment on it?
No. Do you know it enough to talk about it?
Oh, I can learn.
Okay.
I'm a fast learner. I learn very quickly. We got a Cinco de 5-0 coming up. We'll get you set for tonight's Yankee and Met games. These are big games. I know it's the middle of July. Sometimes it feels like it's the kind of the death of the baseball season. I think these 6 games going into the All-Star break are incredibly important for both. We'll get into why coming up.